This is case number 524-0813, People against Chad Evans. I'm Justice Moore presiding. The other justices on this panel are Justices Welch and Cates. Neither one of them could actually be here today for the argument, but they will be able to listen to the Zoom arguments and they have the briefs, and they will be participating in the decision. So, appellant's attorney, you may proceed. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, good afternoon, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Chloe Senshin, Assistant Appellate Defender, representing the appellant, Mr. Chad Evans, in this matter. Mr. Evans joined the U.S. Army and served in Iraq. And as a result of his military service, he is now mentally and physically disabled, including having PTSD from war and a traumatic brain injury. Before being imprisoned in this case, Mr. Evans was taking care of his disabled, aging mother and struggling to overcome his addiction to meth. He has never been to prison before and never committed any violent felonies. Yet, as a result of his addiction struggles, he was found in possession of 0.6 grams of meth, unable to comply with probation, and sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Well, let me make a suggestion. I'm acquainted with the facts, having read the briefs. One thing I want you to focus on is this issue of the extended term eligible. And the other is, of course, whether or not the judge improperly looked at the probation behavior and what you suggest the proper remedy is. So if you'd focus on that, I would appreciate it.
Yes, Your Honor, absolutely. We can dive right into the first issue, which is that Mr. Evans is serving an extended term sentence, but it is now clear
Well,
from
how
the
do you know it's extended term since a class three is 3 to 5? And the extended term was 5 to 10. So how do you know that?
sentencing transcript shows that the trial court judge was under the impression that Mr. Evans was extended term eligible, and that went unquestioned and unchallenged. So that put the range at 2 to 10 years, as Your Honor said, as opposed to a 2 to 5 year sentence. And even though it's true that Mr. Evans is serving a 5 year sentence, that's the maximum end of the normal range. And the trial court's impression was that Mr. Evans was eligible for that 2 to 10 year range. And so when
Say
setting
that on the
the
record.
excuse me?
Did he say extended term eligible on the record?
Yes, Your Honor. I There was a discussion with the prosecutor and the trial court about Mr. Evans being extended term eligible because of another case from Marion County that was also going on sort of parallel with this case. It was also a possession of methamphetamine case in
I
Marion
thought this
County.
was Clinton County.
Yes, I believe so.
So, in other words, he's saying there's another case in the same circuit that's going on with similar circumstances, or was it the same defendant?
It was the same person, Mr. Evans, but the other felony case is this Marion County case. That's the only other class three felony or greater conviction that Mr. Evans has, which could qualify him for extended term sentence. The issue is that we now know the Marion case did not reach finality until a few months after this case. And that's
When did
why
it reach finality? Are you referring then to the Lemons case for your authority?
Yes, Your Honor. The other case, Marion County, reached finality on August 28th of 2024, and we attached that criminal history sheet to the appendix of the opening brief. But here, the final sentence occurred on June 28th. So under Lemons, the Illinois Supreme Court has decided that for the purposes of determining this period of extended term eligibility, that 10-year period is set based on the defendant's final sentencing date rather than the original sentencing. And once probation has been revoked, the trial court is free to impose any sentence that it could have originally imposed. So, and the state in their
And
brief,
that would be up to at least 5 years, right?
It could be within the range of 2 to 5 years, yes, because
Even
that.
under your theory, the sentence he actually received was within that limitation, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. However, the trial court's impression of the 2 to 10 year term was the framework of the sentencing hearing. And so setting a 5 year sentence is somewhat more in the middle of 2 to 10 years, whereas a 2 to 5 year range, it's the maximum. It's more than double the minimum range or sentence. So that's why this error impacted Mr. Evans. And under Lemons, it's a bit of a strange procedural reality, but according to Lemons, that other case in Marion County could not have counted to serve as extended term eligibility for Mr. Evans. And the state has presented no case law to urge this court to hold otherwise and go against the Lemons decision. So, because Mr. Evans was sent last sentenced in Marion County after he was last sentenced here, that cannot fall within the prior 10-year period for the purposes of extended term eligibility. And, the fact remains that Mr. Evans was sentenced within that 2 to 10 year range when he was not, in fact, qualified for an extended term. And that's why a new sentencing hearing is required.
So what's the MSR for class three?
For a class three felony,
Yes.
the standard range is 2 to 5 years.
No, the MSR.
Oh, I apologize.
Otherwise known as parole.
I can't remember off the top of my head, Your Honor. I don't want to tell you the wrong range, but he was sentenced to probation initially and unfortunately could not.
It's, isn't it 1 year?
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm not sure what the probation range
Okay,
is.
I'll ask your colleague for the state.
Yes, Your Honor. So, Mr. Evans was sentenced to probation. When that was revoked, he was sentenced, as we know, to 5 years under this impression of extended term eligibility. And that's why we're asking for a new sentencing
I've
hearing.
asked you a lot of questions. You only have about 2 minutes left. So I'll give you a chance to go into your other issues.
Yes, Your Honor. Turning to the second issue, the trial court erred by improperly considering Mr. Evans' conduct while on probation in setting his sentence, as opposed to sentencing him for the underlying possession conviction. And this is evidenced by the trial court's remarks at sentencing, which were at least unclear as to whether the trial court improperly commingled this uncharged conduct with the underlying offense. One of those remarks was, quote, "And the fact that you have just absolutely not complied with probation, I cannot give you probation one more time. And the fact that there are multiple probation petitions outstanding in Marion County, Mr. Evans, you are quite lucky that the state is not asking for more than they are." End quote. And this shows that the trial court was directly tying Mr. Evans' probation violations to the sentence that was
Did
imposed.
the state ask for?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, can you repeat that?
What did the state ask for?
The state asked for 6 years of imprisonment. And as we know, ultimately he was given five. But in the sentencing hearing, the trial court only made a passing reference to the original offense. And it was apparent from these remarks. Your Honor, I see my time has expired.
You go ahead and finish your, I took up quite a bit of your time. You can finish.
Thank you, Your Honor. The trial court's remarks are really what this court should consider in their totality, and they show that the trial court was punishing Mr. Evans for his probation violations rather than the original offense, and that's why we're asking for a new sentencing hearing. And for these reasons, we ask this court to reduce Mr. Evans' sentence or remand for a new sentencing hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Now hear from the state. Counsel, please state your name for the record.
My name is Ivan O. Taylor, Jr., arguing on behalf of the people of the state of Illinois. Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, counsel. May it please the court. This court should affirm defendant's 5-year sentence for possession of methamphetamine, as defendant cannot demonstrate that any error occurred within this case. Starting with the first issue, there is no error with regards to whether or not defendant was extended term eligible, because he was extended term eligible. Defendant's argument is effectively asking this court to allow him to participate in gamesmanship. An act that our Supreme Court has repeatedly and emphatically has disavowed and prevented any other defendant from doing so for very good reason. One example of this is in the Evans case regarding guilty pleas. That particular defendant had a fully negotiated plea deal with the state, and after receiving that deal, he attempted to reduce his sentence after the fact. Our Supreme Court stated that allowing that defendant to invalidate the foundation of the plea bargaining process would be effectively encouraging gamesmanship of the most offensive nature. And that is effectively what this defendant is trying to do now. In his attempts to cite to Lemons to say that he was no longer eligible for extended term sentencing because he violated his probation in a different case. It was not yet resentenced on that case. Is asking to try to escape the consequences of his own actions. And especially since the reasoning in Lemons is very clear, our Supreme Court stated in Lemons that their holding was to avoid the absurd result of a defendant violating his probation and postponing resentencing in order to escape later sentencing under the extended term statute provisions. Those provisions are in place to ensure that defendants who refuse to rehabilitate themselves will suffer more consequences from continuing violating the law. It's very similar to the provision in Montgomery regarding using prior convictions to impeach witnesses. From Montgomery and as codified in the Evidence Rule 609, that time frame is also 10 years, and that clock starts running 10 years after conviction or 10 years after release from confinement. And that is actually consistent with Lemon's holding, as the time limitation gets reset when there is a new sentencing. And from Lemon's holding, because that particular defendant also repeatedly violated his probation and kept being resentenced to probation and would violate it again, and dragging out the process of his being found guilty, like his 10-year limitation time period does not start until the final sentence that he received in 1996 in that case. That is the reasoning for Lemon's holding, to prevent abuse by defendants who decide that they don't want to follow the law and actually follow their probation requirements. And in this instance, it's the same situation. This defendant, in the other case, I believe in Marion County case, which he was also found guilty, well, pled guilty for possession of methamphetamine. He violated his probation. His probation was revoked. He got resentenced to probation, and he violated again, and that was revoked. He does not get to try to invalidate his conviction by violating his probation to avoid a greater sentence in this case. Moreover, I believe defendant mentioned how that during this process, during the resentencing in this case, that is free to have any sentence that's appropriate at the time. Well, when this defendant was first found guilty and first pled guilty in this case, that was in October 10th, 2018. In a Marion case, he pled guilty on February 18th, 2017. That case, his probation was still in place at the same for his conviction and probation were still his conviction was, he pled guilty then, and his probation from that plea of guilty was in place when he was first pled guilty in this case and was sentenced to probation in this case initially. So under defendant's argument saying that he can only be resentenced to the same range that was appropriate at the time of his initial conviction in this case, he was convicted in Marion at the time. Because in Marion case, his first probation was not revoked until May 21st, 2019, after he was pled guilty in this case. So even on her own reasoning, he is still extended term eligible. Even if this court were to consider defense argument that he was not extended term eligible, as you point out, Your Honor, he was sentenced to 5 years, which is within the statutory range of a Class 3 felony in this case. And while the trial court did mention the being extended term eligible, it never specified that it was giving defendant an extended term. It just stated that it was sentencing him to 5 years of incarceration with some time served, I believe, as well as MSR. I don't recall how much time. I believe MSR in this case is 1 year. But I don't know the exact time frame for MSR or Class 3 felony.
So let me ask you this about the MSR. Didn't the trial judge give him 6 months?
I believe you're correct, Your Honor. I believe the judge did give him 6 months of MSR as opposed to 1 year of MSR.
So the trial judge's sentence in that regard is not correct. Is that true? You agree with that?
You'll be correct, Your Honor. The sentence as to the MSR, that would be incorrect. I don't think the defendant would want to challenge that because it is a lesser time. He has obviously, if he wished to do so, he could, because it does not follow the provisions of the statute. But it's not an issue that was actually brought up by the defendant in this case, at least not this aspect of his sentencing. One thing that people want to point out, as the defendant has brought this issue under plain error for the first argument, that plain error does not apply. Within defendant's in the charging instrument, it was stated that he was extended term eligible. It was stated in open court multiple times when defendant's counsel was present. At no point did his counsel ever object to the claim that to the idea to the notion that defendant was extended term eligible. Effectively, he if there. If there is any error as to his eligibility, that error was invited. And since it's an invited error, plain error cannot
Okay, I'm
apply.
not understanding how it's invited.
Because during this resentencing hearing, the people said, oh, he's the trial court and the people both stated that, oh, defendant's then extended term eligible. And neither defend nor trial counsel ever objected to whether or not he would extend term eligible. They accepted that reality that he's eligible for extended term sentencing. And by trial counsel's acquiescence, if there is error in his eligibility for extended term sentencing, he invited that error by accepting the statements of the trial court. And that's why it would be invited error if there is any error. And so as invited error, plain error does not apply. With regards to ineffectiveness of counsel, the people will argue that there is no prejudice here, because as you point out, Justice Moore, that he was sentenced to 5 years, which is in the statutory range of a Class 3 felony. There is nothing in this record to indicate that even though the trial court acknowledged he was extended term eligible, there's no indication that the trial court actually sentenced him to an extended term. All we know that his trial court did sentence him to 5 years. With regards to whether or not the trial court was sentencing defendant based upon his actions during probation, the people argue that the statements of the trial court were not
Do
indicative
you
of
agree with the defendant's argument that if that is incorrect, that if this court finds that is incorrect, that he should be entitled to a new sentencing hearing because the trial court was not considering the proper parameters of the sentence?
If defendant is not extended term eligible, and if this court finds that the trial court did sentence him based on those based on extended term, then he would be entitled to a sentencing hearing, to a new sentencing hearing. If the court comes to that conclusion, yes, Your Honor. With regards to whether or not the people do not believe that the trial court utilized his actions during probation as the basis to re on for his resentencing, the trial court is
What's
allowed to
your
account.
basis for that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What is your basis for saying that?
First, the case law says that the trial court can comment on the actions of during that occurred during probation to determine whether or not the defendant has for rehabilitative potential for the defendant. Your Honor, my time is ended. May I please finish?
Well, I will say, I'll let you comment on this. You probably do agree that he did struggle during probation.
Yes, he did struggle during probation, but the trial court is allowed to comment upon the defendant's actions during probation to determine rehabilitative potential and whether or not probation would be another appropriate sentence. This particular resentencing hearing, this is not the first one in this case. He had a prior hearing that he had probation. It was revoked due to his failure to comply with the probation requirements, and he was resentenced to probation
Was
previously.
this his second PTR in this case?
I believe it's the second one in this case. Yes, Your Honor. And the trial court can
Okay.
comment. And trial court can comment on the actually the probation, determine if probation is appropriate. And that's what happened in this case. The trial court commented on the fact that this defendant has demonstrated that he cannot abide by the requirements of probation. And that's why she made a statement. That's why the trial court made a statement it did during this case. It wasn't trying to punish him for his action of probation. It was indicating that he's no longer appropriate to receive probation as a new
What about
sentence.
the contrast between the original sentence of probation and the max of 5 years under the class three?
For the contrast, the people argue that, as it's still within the statutory range, it's presumptively proper. And judging by the defendant's long criminal history, this is not his this first of all, this is not his first class three felony for possession. He has prior cases, excluding the traffic cases, he has prior cases of multiple batteries on his record, as well as I'm blinking on the entirety of his PSI, but the length of the criminal history is PSI, as well as the type of this type of particular offense, and the fact that the defendant, irrespective of his addiction and his mental health, Actually, because of his addiction and mental health, our Supreme Court repeatedly stated that addiction and mental health are not necessarily mitigating factors. They can be aggravating. And for this defendant, unfortunately, it is aggravating. He's been given multiple opportunities to try to seek help and treatment for his mental issues, for his addiction, and he's chosen not to actually avail himself of those treatments.
Okay,
And
thank you, counsel.
thank you, Your Honor. The people. I'm sorry, I
Go
say
ahead.
that people ask that you affirm defendant's conviction and sentence.
Counsel Sinchin in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. On rebuttal, I have two brief points. First, unlike the state's accusation that Mr. Evans is engaged in gamesmanship, Mr. Evans is not taking advantage or abusing the system. This is unfounded and not supported by the record. This first issue is a legal issue, and as I said, it's a bit of a strange procedural issue, but the timing and cutoff points are clearly established from Lemons. And based on Lemons, Mr. Evans was not extended term eligible here. And the more reasonable explanation for Mr. Evans' conduct and probation violations is
Well,
that
what about counsel's assertions about the Marion County case? Why does that not apply? He says it was a class three in Marion County, and he was already had already pled guilty and been sentenced on that.
Yes, Your Honor. The reason is because now we can see those final dates when these cases reach their final judgment. And we know that the Marion case didn't reach final judgment until August. And even though this might be a bit unusual, under Lemons, that removes it from being considered for extended term eligibility because it's not within the prior 10-year period. And Mr. Evans, was clearly struggling with probation and unable to overcome his addiction. But that doesn't mean that he deserved the maximum sentence for this range. I also wanted to respond to an earlier question Your Honor had asked about the court having extended term eligibility in the mind during the sentencing hearing. And we can see that in the report of proceedings on page 224, where the trial court explains to Mr. Evans that he is eligible between a 2 to 10 year extended term range. Also, the fact that the state asked for 6 years shows that they were operating based on this understanding that Mr. Evans was extended term eligible. Second, I want to respond to the state's argument that that plain error doesn't apply here. Under second prong plain error, forfeited sentencing issues are reviewable by this court if that error affected, quote, the very framework in which the sentencing hearing occurred. And clearly from these quotes in the record, we know that this was the framework that the trial court was operating under. And maybe he couldn't sentence Mr. Evans to probation again. That's understandable. But again, that doesn't mean Mr. Evans deserved double the minimum sentence for this range, especially where he had never been to prison before and had no violent felonies and was clearly a drug addict who, needs help, was taking care of his mother, at least contributing to society in that way. And as Your Honor pointed out, the fact that he originally got probation shows that the trial court saw this crime and this harm as more minimal. So there is jurisdiction for this court to review this error under second prong, and we also argued alternatively ineffective assistance of counsel for failing to object. And if Your Honor has no further questions, we would ask this court to reverse and remand for a new sentencing hearing.
Thank you, counsel. This court will take the matter under advisement and issue its decision in due course, with Justices Welch and Cates on the panel also participating.